From Greenville, South Carolina, we present
Let the Bible Speak.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he commences a message entitled, The Effect of the Unction of the Spirit upon the People of God. The text is found in 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27, where Christians are spoken of as having an unction from the Holy One. This unction, or anointing, is something that every person who trusts Christ as Savior receives at the moment of conversion. It is equivalent to being baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, and it produces a number of important effects in the life of the believer. As Dr. Cairns will point out, the first effect is authority, that which enables the Christian to serve the Lord with power. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to call attention to his booklet, A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about knowing how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life. Today he speaks of Christ's high priestly work embodied in the statement, Christ now appears.
If ever you have to stand in court before a judge on anything serious, you will know the value of a good attorney or advocate, or at least you hope you'll have a good attorney or a good advocate. The Bible tells us that the Christian has an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us he now appears in the presence of God for us. John the Apostle wrote that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, as an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ appears before God to plead our cause. Now, let that sink in. He now appears in the presence of God for us. And why does he appear there? He appears to plead our cause, to hold us up and plead on our behalf before God. The idea is of an intercessor, yes, but the idea is of more than an intercessor. The idea in the advocate is one who is presenting arguments on our behalf. Now, he has the greatest argument to present on behalf of his people. It is an argument that demands that they be accepted, that they be welcomed into heaven, that they never be condemned and cast out into hell, but that they be given the highest place in glory. That argument is the shed blood of Christ. The same Christ who died and shed his blood now lives to present his blood before God. A great Scottish theologian, Hugh Martin, in a wonderful work on the atonement, spoke of Christ presenting his blood as an objective plea. In other words, Christ as our advocate is not acting the way advocates act on earth. In human courts of so-called justice, lawyers appearing on behalf of a guilty client will conjure every reason, true or false, every loophole in the law to advocate the cause of their client, to seek either to get him off or to lessen his sentence. That's not how our advocate works with God. He's not looking for any lessening of the law. He's not looking for any loopholes in the law. He's not making up any stories. He's not telling some false a theory as to why God should accept us. No, he is presenting an objective plea, a plea of absolute value and merit and truth. He's presenting his blood and he's saying, Father, I have died in the place of these people. I lived in their place. I lived fulfilling the law of God for them, to work out for them a perfect righteousness. I have died to put away the guilt of their sin. In other words, I have fulfilled the law in its precept, and I have paid the law fully in its penalty. In the name of these people, they are mine, and they, being mine, have a right to go to heaven, not because of what they have done, but because of what I have done. Father, look upon my precious blood. That's the basis of the advocacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, what a glorious truth it is that he now appears in the presence of God for us. Is Christ your advocate? Is that your certainty? Are you sure that when you meet God, it'll not be a matter of you or anybody else trying to conjure up some false reason why you should escape hell and enter heaven, but it will be the matter that Christ, the advocate, has given the perfect reason why you should enter heaven. Oh, it's imperative that you have Christ as your Savior. There's a hymn that says, I have a Savior, he's pleading in glory, a dear, precious Savior, though earth friends be few, and now he is watching in tenderness o'er me. And oh, that my Savior were your Savior too. That's my prayer. Oh, that my advocate were your advocate too.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me
to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Continuing with our messages on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit of God, I want today to direct your attention to two verses in the portion from which we have been reading, the 20th verse of 1 John chapter 2, and then the 27th verse of the same chapter. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you,
But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The word unction simply means an anointing. It is the very same word that is translated in verse 20, unction, that appears in verse 27 as anointing. It's a very precious word to the believer, because in the Greek Testament, it is that word which gives us the name Christ. Just as in the Old Testament, its Hebrew equivalent is the word which gives us the name Messiah, the Anointed One. The name Christian is given to the people of God. In a former message, I pointed out that it is a mistake to think that it was given as a nickname by the ungodly. When the Bible says that they were first called Christians in Antioch, the word called indicates that they were called by God. This is not a man-invented name. This is a God-given name. And the name Christian is a very apt name for the people of God, because the Lord is thereby declaring that they also are anointed with that self same Spirit with whom their Savior and their living head has been anointed. It is interesting to read in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 40, of the anointing of Aaron as the high priest, and then his sons as the priests under him. In the 40th chapter of the book of Exodus, we can read in verse 13, "Thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him." Then in verse 15, speaking of the sons of Aaron, "And thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father." Aaron, the head of this priestly tribe, was anointed. And because he was anointed, and in union with him in his priesthood, they were anointed. So we turn to the New Testament scriptures, and we find in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 4, and in verse 27, "Of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed," both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. But we note, of Christ it is said, "Thou hast anointed him." Similarly, in chapter 10 and in verse 38, Peter says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth." He is our greater head than Aaron, and he was anointed. Thank God we, like the sons of Aaron, are also anointed. For 2 Corinthians 1 and 21 says, "He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God." Now this unction, this anointing, I think is well explained when you look through the Old Testament scriptures. It is interesting that in the Old Testament, the primary reference of all the anointings is to typify the Lord Jesus Christ and the anointing which he received. We have read of the anointing of Aaron, the high priest. That points to the anointing of Christ as our high priest. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1, and later in 12 and 13 of the same chapter, we have the anointing of David as the king. and it points forward to the anointing of Christ, not only as our priest, but as our king. And then in 1 Kings 19 and verse 16, we have Elijah anointing Elisha. Here is the anointing of the prophet, and it points forward to the anointing of Christ as our prophet. Here we have a beautiful picture of our totally complete mediator, the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is our anointed prophet. He is our anointed priest. He is our anointed king. He has the anointing of God as the prophet to come with full authority to declare unto us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. He has the anointing of God as priest that he should come and offer himself a spotless sacrifice unto God to make atonement for the sins of his people, and then to enter into the holiest of all, carrying the blood of atonement to intercede on behalf of his blood-bought church. Thank God he is our anointed king, in order that he may be the great commander of his people, that he may be the great leader, the one who goes before in victory, subduing unto himself every power of heaven, earth, and hell, to bring all things to his feet for the glory of his Father and for the good of his redeemed church. So here in the anointings of the Old Testament, we have a picture of our anointed mediator as prophet, priest, and king. We have read that he was anointed by the Father, pouring the Spirit upon him as the oil was poured upon the head of the prophet, priest, and king in the Old Testament. A proof of his divine commission, of his divine office, and of his divine authority. Now then, in the light of all that, it becomes highly significant that we, his people, are anointed with the same Spirit. I think we could even say that the anointing which was poured upon our living head flows from him to all the body, so that in union with Christ, we receive of the same Spirit as God the Father poured out upon his Son. Therefore, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:21 that God hath anointed us, and in the words of our text, we have an unction, or an anointing, as verse 27 puts it. Now this unction of the Holy Ghost, I think that it's something that's largely misunderstood. We have come to take unction to mean the ability to speak with persuasive power, to have dynamic power for service. Now, I'm not going for a moment to underestimate the need and the reality of the power of the Spirit of God for service. I will be coming to that in due course. But I think that in the unction there are lessons which are largely overlooked. This unction belongs to every Christian. It is not just something that preachers have or apostles have. There is the unction, the anointing of the Spirit, and it is given to every Christian. Without this, you cannot be saved. This is in many ways, though not in all its lessons, it is in many ways equivalent to the baptism by the Spirit into the body of Christ. It is something that takes place at regeneration. And it is something that God gives to every Christian, therefore. Today I want us to think then upon the effects of the unction of the Spirit of God upon the people of God. I want us to pay attention to the lessons that are involved in this statement, ye have an unction from the Holy One. I take the Holy One here to be Christ himself. And the unction, answering to the oil in the Old Testament, is the Spirit of God. When Christ was anointed, we read he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. When we receive an anointing from the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the anointing with the Holy Ghost. So I want us to think then on the effects of this unction of the Spirit upon the people of God. The effects can be summed up under four very simple headings, and I want us to look at them like that today. The first effect is empowerment. And I use that word in the restricted sense of authority. The unction of the Spirit is God's way of imparting authority to the people of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.